Welcome in, everybody. It's another week of Play-by-Play presented by your friends at The Advocate, along with our producer, Harrison Valentine, the illustrious Kent Lowe. I'm Chris Blair, and got a lot to cover here today on the week that was and the week that is coming up. We're going to talk women's basketball, track and field, women's golf, and yeah, another SEC title for LSU. Later on in the show, Jay Clark, head coach of LSU Gymnastics, fresh off their win in New Orleans for the SEC title, is going to join us, talk about that experience as well as the NCAA's. The postseason continues on for LSU Gymnastics. So, Kent, let's jump into it. We'll start with women's basketball. The defense of their national title still underway. They got out of the first and second round, I guess, if you will, to reach the Sweet 16 with wins this past week at home, hosting the tournament, of course. Had some interesting games, but you kind of see the talent and the team take over late to pull away in both of those victories over Rice and then Middle Tennessee to punch their ticket to the Sweet 16.
Survive in advance. That's all it is. And when you get to this point of the year, there are a lot of teams that wish they could have survived in advance. And they found themselves up against Middle Tennessee. I think everyone was thinking Louisville in that second round, but Middle Tennessee came from 18 down against Louisville to win the first round game here in Baton Rouge. And that was the third largest comeback in an NCAA tournament game to win. And they gave LSU a very good fight on Sunday afternoon. But LSU's talent, LSU's ability, it just all made a difference. And in the second half, really poured it on and won going away, which is what you want to see. And now UCLA, who I watched last night, had a very difficult game out in Los Angeles against Creighton, has advanced. And it'll be those two meeting up in Albany in one of the two regionals being conducted there.
Yeah, it'll be LSU and UCLA, I believe, a number three and number two seed, if memory serves. And again, that will tip off at noon Central Time from Albany, New York, MVP Arena. Of course, you'll be on television, and you can catch it with Patrick Wright and Chiyetta Williams on the LSU Sports Radio Network. And again, that particular little section of this tournament here, you've got UCLA and LSU on one side, Iowa or Colorado on the other. I mean, if you love women's college basketball, I mean, that alone, those four teams alone.
It's Murderer's Row. Yeah, it's the, what do they call it in the World Cup, the group of death?
Yep.
It's similar to that. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking number two seed, number three seed, number one seed, number five seed. But again, it all comes down to what you do on the floor during a given game. And as we say, Ken, all the time, that's why we play them.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what the seeding is, doesn't matter what the record is. But LSU will continue on a quest to reach Cleveland in the Final Four. It will start Saturday in Albany. It'll be LSU and UCLA. Let's talk track and field, continuing to make noise, Kent. The women ranked number one, men number two in the first outdoor. Again, they're just staying at the top, going to give them a chance to really make some noise at the end of the season.
Yeah, they had their first outdoor meet this past weekend at Burning Moore, and I believe they are back in action again this weekend at the track. But a lot of talent, a lot of great athletes on these two teams, and to start out like that in the first outdoor ranking is a great step for Dennis Shaver and his squads coming out of the indoor season and now into the outdoor, where it really, really picks up in a hurry here.
All right, now let's go to women's golf, because we talk about the great teams that are made up with great individual student athletes here at LSU, and boy, you can go across the board to any sport and you can find a handful. But when it comes to kind of separating themselves in a given sport, Kent, we've talked about this young lady a number of times. Ingrid Lindblad now becomes the SEC leader when it comes to career wins by a woman's golfer. She did it this past weekend, her 14th collegiate golf title.
Incredible.
You know, she shoots rounds of 66, 67 And even more impressive, shoot 65 Sunday on a day when none of the teams broke par. And so that makes, she shot 18 under. She wins by 10 shots. 14 career wins. Stacey Lewis, who, if you follow women's golf and know her career on the LPGA Tour from 2005 to 2008 at Arkansas, she won 13 events. Even more impressive, Chris, is that she won the Clemson Invitational, Ingrid did, for the third straight year. And that is an extreme rarity in college golf, to be able to win the same college tournament 3 years in a row. And now her and Latonna Stone, who's also a grad student at LSU, will head to Augusta next week to take part in the Augusta National Women's Am. What a prestigious event, limited field, and national television. It'll be a great week there at Augusta, and looking forward to seeing them. They've had good performances there and hopefully can finish it off one more time with another good performance. And then it's on to SECs for women's golf, and the Tigers are right in the mix to compete for that title.
Harrison, you know it's a prestigious event there at Augusta because Kent Lowe will be holding court there coming up next week. So congratulations. That's exciting. You're able to go to one of these great locales that normally we're not privy to. So good on you.
Well, you know, you beg the right people, and sometimes things happen.
Well, again, congratulations to LSU Women's Golf and, of course, Ingrid Lindblad. Softball and baseball before we take a quick break. Softball and baseball struggling over the last two SEC series. Of course, LSU softball got off to an incredible start and racked up a ton of wins, struggled at home. They got a sweep at Kentucky, came back. Ole Miss gave them some trouble. This time, this past weekend, on the road at Missouri, they lost the series 2-1. LSU baseball started in Starkville. We all know lost 2 of 3 there. Florida comes in, a battle of number 6 and number 5. And LSU once again loses 2 out of 3 at home. The good news is there's still a lot of SEC baseball and softball to be played, but certainly I know both coaches looking to get it started again this weekend. LSU baseball will have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, of course, with the Easter holiday coming up, and LSU softball will do the same. They will have, I believe it is Texas A&M here beginning Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But big weekends. I mean, I don't want to put them or classify them, Ken, into must-win weekends, but getting close here when you want to compete for a SEC title for both clubs.
Well, a lot to go still, but I think it's great that LSU softball will be back here at home. I think a good chance to help themselves and get the crowd behind them for this Easter weekend. Tough road trip for LSU. Again, you know, this weekend at Arkansas, always difficult. They're ranked, what, number one this week? So a difficult thing, but it's just a little few things here and there. You had that Saturday night game look like in the palm of your hand, and just a couple of little things happen, and suddenly Florida ties it, and you go to extra innings, and you know, Chris, very well when anything can happen at that point. And softball was in a couple of those games. They lost at Missouri. They were close. They were in. They were right there and just couldn't get what they needed to get over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Jay Johnson earlier this week on his radio show, he mentioned, you know, the benefit that LSU had last year of impact players like Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz, who could take over a game and could have a moment in a game that would result in a win for LSU. Florida's kind of got that this year with Jack Caglione. I mean, he is predicted to be a potential SEC Player of the Year, two-way Player of the Year, and certainly a Golden Spikes Award winner. And he took over, hit the two-run bomb on Saturday night, which LSU played the better game. It was one of those we all woke up Sunday morning going, wait a minute, did LSU lose a win last night? Because it really felt like they had won the game. But he impacted the game with that swing. And then on Sunday, he impacted the game really with a great outing on the mound. He's an incredible athlete. And so LSU will now go travel to Arkansas. And frankly, the pressure, I think, is on the Razorbacks. They're the number one team in the land. Many think they have the best weekend pitching staff in the country. So let's see. LSU, I think, can go up there with a little chip on their shoulder and see if they can't ruin a weekend for the Pigs in Fayetteville. So anyway, that's the latest on what's happening in LSU athletics. As we said, we promised we would talk about champions. We love to talk about champions here on the show. And we've got Jay Clark. He's going to join us next, fresh off the SEC title win in New Orleans with LSU Gymnastics. It's coming up right here on Play by Play. Yeah. Welcome back, fans, on this week's Play-by-Play. As we promised, we're bringing the champions on the show this week. Most recent LSU champions, and that's LSU Gymnastics. It is great to have join us now, Head Coach Jay Clark. And, Coach, first of all, congratulations. I mean, it has been exciting to watch this team this year. Got a chance to take in one of the matches myself. My family's been to a couple. And I was at the ballpark and saw the score come in, saw the celebration. Congratulations on bringing another title to LSU and another SEC title for LSU Gymnastics.
I appreciate it, man. It was pretty special to be in New Orleans and be able to do it in front of a lot of our fans, a lot of them that don't get over here all the time, a lot of them in the New Orleans area. And we had a great raucous, loud crowd over there in the Smoothie King Center, and the SEC did a great job putting the thing on. It's a great venue for our championship, and it's always fun to be able to win it in front of our people.
Well, Ken, it was incredible. I mean, the run they had to kind of wrap up conference play, if you will, by wrapping up the conference tournament. But we talked about them week in and week out, Coach, every week on this show. All you do is win, 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 no matter what. That's kind of what we said about LSU Gymnastics. Harrison, did we not? And, I mean, it's been fun to watch.
Well, it is. And, it's been interesting to me this year, Jay, that it's almost like it's another level this year in gymnastics all across the country, really. 198 has kind of become the new norm now in college gymnastics.
Well, it's a combination of things. One is a negative and one's a positive. The positive is that we see a much larger pool of talent being spread out amongst various teams than we did 10, 15, 20 years ago. The negative thing is that our organization has been reluctant to change many of our rules. And so with parity being sort of the priority, we've got it, and in some cases it might be a manufactured level of parity, and that's a danger that we've got to be careful of. We need to really take a look at trying to do some things that create greater separation, because the judges can only do what the rules allow, and so a team like ours that does a great level of difficulty isn't necessarily rewarded for that all the time. And so it's a positive and a negative. It's great for the fan right now, the layperson who's just coming to the sport. It's exciting. You see these close victories and these possible upsets and that kind of thing, but we need to make sure that we don't thwart a sport that is, by its nature, progressive. It should constantly be moving forward and creating and trying to push the envelope of what we can do.
The one thing is a crowd understands now college gymnastics scoring. I watch the Olympics every 4 years, and it takes a math class to understand how that's scored. So I don't think you guys want it to go that far, but maybe there are some tweaks that you want.
Well, I think we have to take a look at the value of some of this, because we don't want to go to that open scoring where you're scoring something like a 13 or a 14
right.
or 15. The perfect 10 is still kind of the benchmark, and we want to stay with that, because that's the thing that is understandable to the person who's kind of a novice at our sport. It's the equivalent of a home run or a touchdown. They know what that is. And I think we need to keep with that sort of simpler to understand sort of scoring system. But at the same time, we need to devalue certain skills, take them down a little bit, make it a little more difficult to achieve that 10-0 score. And I think that's really where we've got to put our focus.
Saturday night, I thought, first of all, your performance was great, but I have to compliment really all four teams in that night session of the SEC championships, because really all four of the teams were pretty much on just about all night. I mean, it was a tremendous – it was a national championship-type event.
I say it – I say it every year, Kent. That thing is as hard to win, sometimes harder to win, than the national championship is. Having been to both many, many times, you know, that thing, because of the rivalry and the intensity that goes along with that meet, all four of those teams in the evening session were in the top seven in the country. And even if you went as deep as seven, and we were all in the top 15. So it's like every other sport in this country. And that meet could have gone any of four directions. And you saw that. And the trick was stay the course, stay calm. We told our team there'd be an ebb and flow. We knew we might not lead the entire time and that kind of thing. And that bore itself out. And when we got to the final event, I think we were pretty confident of that.
Again, LSU Gymnastics taking their fifth title in program history, first since 2019, with another 198 score, 198.075. And again, great team victory, but we can't even begin or finish, that is, Coach, without talking about the individuals, because you had five who also were SEC title winners.
Yeah, that was pretty neat, too. And, you know, some of them were not names that we get to hear as often as we do. You know, Haley Bryant is Haley Bryant, and everybody is aware that, you know, she's our Joe Burrow or our Jaden Daniels, you know, in terms of our sport. But, you know, to see somebody like Ashley Cowan, who came here as a walk-on from North Carolina and ended up being an SEC champion on an even bars, and KJ Johnson doing what she's done all year and doesn't always get credit for on floor, doesn't always get, you know, what I feel like she always deserves in terms of that, and to see that come to fruition for her. And so many things just went really well for our individuals, and we talk about that all the time. If we focus on we, the me will take care of itself, and those individual accolades will come. So very happy for them and their mom and dad and their grandmamas and everybody that get to talk about all the individual things, but our primary focus remains on how we do as a team.
I wanted to talk, we could brag on all of them, but one of the names that certainly I think people have, Tiger fans, have come to know and will get to know, Connor McClain. I mean, hard to believe, just a freshman.
Yeah, she's pretty special, and we're still learning her as an athlete, and she's a different bird. I mean, she gets in the zone really, really well, similar to Haley, but in a different way. She gets really drawn down and very serious, very focused, very intense right before she competes, and there's not a lot of not a lot of fluff when it comes to her when she's getting ready to compete. Now, in between, she's great and has a good time and is fun and acts like a typical freshman would. But she is she's an intense competitor. She's kind of got that assassin kind of edge to her a little bit that you want to see. And I think the sky's the limit for Connor as she continues to go and continues to get healthier and healthier. She's doing a lot more this year than I had anticipated, given where she was physically when she got here.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting in these days of college sports when teams are older, you know, that you've got a freshman like this who is kind of making her own mark out there for you.
You know, with the COVID extra years and the transfer portal and those kinds of things, it's in most cases you can take a little bit of time to develop freshmen, whereas in the past, we might not have been able to do that, but she and Amari both have left us really no choice. They've taken it out of our hands because they're doing so well in the spots that they're competing. We have to get them in the lineup because the scoring potential is so high.
Let me take you back a little bit into this season, if we could. The Missouri meet, I remember, I don't know your exact quote, but I remember you saying, well, no, I want to use it to bring where you've come from there. Yeah. I mean, you made a point about every meet is important. You can't take a meet off. Yeah. You kind of intimated that to the media and all. Yeah. And it seemed like there was a response from your team the next week when you came home and got your first 198. I mean, it seemed like they really responded from that point forward.
They did, and we were all pretty salty after that meet because we did it to ourselves, and it was an self-inflicted kind of thing that, you know, affected one of our goals, and that was to win the regular season as well. We were a little bit irritated, but we didn't approach it from a knee jerk. We need to change a whole lot. It was more about let's make sure that we're disciplined and sticking to what our recipe is and what it is that works for us, and not let outside thoughts or circumstances or environments or anything affect our performance. And I hope that that's a lesson we learned. It, you know, it the the appearances that we have. But again, you're only as good as the next thing you do. And so we've got to continue to adhere to that and continue to remember that lesson that we learned.
You know, it's funny because Kent, you know, brings that up. And I remember before the season, back in the fall, you were nice enough to come on the show. And one of the things we talked about was the schedule, and that you do not shy away from really bringing the competition in. And this year, 9 ranked opponents that you guys defeated. All the while, going back to Kent's point, there were things you were trying to improve. And it wasn't like you had a lot of opportunities to, okay, let's work on some things.
Right.
You had to go out and perform week after week.
We did. And that's that. You know what? It really doesn't do any good, even if you to take weeks off out of conference. For a lot of reasons, I think we need to stay sharp. I think we need to be as battle tested as we can possibly be. The one disadvantage is that we don't get a lot of there's not a lot of flexibility for putting people in just to kind of see where you're at, see what you've got, and getting them some experience. You gotta go with known commodities in every meet, particularly in conference. And so, it's a gauntlet. And, you know, everybody keeps talking about Oklahoma joining the league next year. It doesn't get any easier as they are, you know, are the gold standard right now in our sport and have been for several years. But I also know that they have to get used to running the gauntlet that we've had to run every year in this conference. And so that'll be a little bit of a different mindset for them. I'm sure they won't struggle awfully a lot with that, but they, you know, it will test their mettle a little bit differently than what they've had to do.
All right, let's take us through. We want to talk about what's on the horizon. Again, a tremendous regular season, tremendous performance in the SEC for the title. I know a number 2 seed, I believe Fayetteville.
Yeah, we are the number two overall. We're the 1 seed in our region. Yeah.
So talk about kind of what we're going to see when you guys take to the floor.
Well, I hope you just see more of the same. I hope that what the SEC experience did for us is just kind of cement a little bit of our confidence level and understand. It was a great lesson that we went through during that meet, too, in that we didn't have to be perfect. We just had to stay the course. And when we do that, our big scores can come from so many places that that's a luxury. And I hope they understand that a little bit better now, and that we can't panic. We can't, you know, get tight if something doesn't go exactly right. And we need to be able to just focus on the 5 minutes in front of our face, keep it, taking it one step at a time. And if we can do that, we'll be happy with the results. I think sometimes winning a meet like we did at SECs can really solidify a team. Up until then, they believe and they want to believe, and they've got the emotional part of that in them that says we are good enough. But then until you do it, you don't have the logic to back up the emotion. Now you've got the evidence and the proof's in the pudding. So hopefully that just propels us forward to a greater level of consistency because we gain our confidence.
So for those that don't know, there are 9 teams really in the whole thing, but there are 2 4-team sessions in the first night of this thing. There's a play-in meet the night before, but you got to be in the top 2 of that first night.
And then advance to the
then
round
you
of
16. Come back to the round of 16. It's very much, you know, the win and go home attitude, or finish first or second and go home, but I mean, it's a lot happening in a short period of time.
It is. It is a 2-day format at that site, so we won't, you know, it's survive in advance, just like it is in the basketball tournament to a degree. But we've got to do that. We've got to make sure that we can get through that round of 16. This thing, this new format that has only been in place since 2019. It's a meat grinder. I use that term all the time. There's not been a year where one of the top 5 teams in the country since we did this didn't get upset and knocked out of this thing. So we've got to make sure that we stay true to who we are and not take anything for granted, and just keep trying to advance.
You had to survive a tiebreaker to get through.
Yeah, last year we sure did.
Yeah,
and, you know, hopefully we don't have to go through that nonsense again, because otherwise I'll need several visits to the cardiologist.
We were all sitting watching going, okay, it's a tie. So do you have a vault off here, or what the heck happens? Yeah.
No, it just, you go to the 6th score on every event. And I knew then that if the scoreboard was correct, I knew Michigan had a fall in their 6th score that they had not counted. And that would put us over the top, but you never know till it gets verified.
And a couple of teams we're very familiar with. Arkansas, yeah, of course, is the host. Kentucky, mm-hmm, is in this meet. Minnesota, you've had a experience with.
Yeah, I hadn't seen them this year, yeah, but they're typically a very, very strong team. We think Kentucky is one of the best four or five teams in the country, really. I don't think it's certainly not outside of the realm of possibility for them to make the NCAA finals this year. So we cannot take anything for granted. A three seed host is dangerous. And so, you know, that's what we're up against.
Wasn't Denver a three seed
last year?
Denver
was a three
seed
host. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. And in our sport, the home court advantage is huge because you're on your equipment. And if everybody's equipment feels a little different, and you're on your equipment in your home environment and all those things, and scoring can tend to favor you a little bit when you're at home if you have a big crowd. So Arkansas is a good team, and we, you know, they've gone as high as 198 at home this year as well. So there is no easy out once you get to this point, and we've just got to kind of put our head down and just plow through.
Again, things will get started for the Tigers in the NCAA on Thursday, April 4th. Coach, I know you come off the big win in New Orleans for the SEC title, which I agree with you 100% that now it's you've got the facts behind the belief. Mm-hmm. What do you do to try to – do you try to keep that momentum when you've got this amount of time between New Orleans and going to Fayetteville? Yeah. What do you work on?
You know, right now it's we this time of year I think rest is key, and I feel like in many ways less is more. We've got our training schedule needs to be centered around efficiency, and when they walk out of the gym, I want them to feel like they were productive and successful, because it's just about the mental frame of mind right now. Truthfully, if we're having to do physical numbers at this stage of the game, then we haven't done our job. So I gave them 2 days off. We'll go back in the gym today for the first time, kind of get things going again, and then we're going to mimic the regional weekend going into this weekend, and then train Monday and Tuesday, then we travel Tuesday night, and we don't get to get on the equipment for this competition. We can do what they call a look-through instead of a walk-through, where we can show up and just kind of get the lay of the land and see what the space looks like. So, you know, here we go. Let's just see where it goes.
Crazy question. Is that a logistics thing because there's so many
yeah.
teams?
Yeah,
just don't
because
have time to let
well,
you
we got
get
that,
out there?
We got that first round that I – loathe you know I it, it's
that'd be the play-in
yeah they call it they don't like us to call it the play-in, but that's what it is. And so with that, when that as long as that's there, it's impossible for the teams that have already qualified into that second round to get on the equipment and kind of get a feel for it. So wow. We had to eliminate our training day there in order to accommodate 36 teams versus 32.
Wow. I mean again I you're talking to a layman again, but it seems like when yeah. you go for every other sport, everybody wants to go in and wants to be on the field and wants to yeah. shoot at the rims.
You do.
That seems like
yeah.
a very big disadvantage
well, think
for
about
everybody.
It. Well, it is. And think about it. I mean, these kids are not, you know, as no shot at basketball, but it's different shooting a ball to a stiff rim or a loose rim than it is to flip and twist 12, 14
yeah.
feet
yes.
in the air.
Yeah. Yes, that's dangerous.
And yeah. your spatial awareness be what it is different in every place. You have to kind of figure out where your spots are, because visually things can change when you're in the middle of those skills. And so everybody's got to do it, and everybody's got to go through the same thing. And so we'll make the adjustments. Our kids are very resilient and able to do that. We do it all year long but we're able to do walkthroughs when we're on the road most of the time, where we can yeah. kind of at least kind of get a sense of what we're doing. So we'll go, and we're going to compete hard.
Before we get out of here, I do want you to take a minute and just talk about your fan base.
Yes.
I mean, again, number one in the country this year.
Tremendous.
I mean, packed the place over 13,000 at the last meet. I mean, it's an amazing atmosphere
in
the Maravich Center.
We were oversold each of the last three competitions, and that is something that I've been asking for and pushing for and pushing our marketing people and trying to entice our fans to be able to do. I really believed 12 years ago that we could sell that building out every time we open the doors. We only get six opportunities a year to do that, and the schedule worked out this year where we were home away yeah. which was nice, because you're not having to do it week after week, and I just thought our fans responded in such a tremendous way, and just I couldn't be couldn't be more excited about that. More grateful. I mean, we're blessed to be at a place where the fan base for every sport is as crazy and ardent as it is. I mean, I don't know another place that could be across the street from their baseball stadium and do 12,000 people in both places on the same night. And that's happened here a couple of times. So it's a special place. Our fan base is incredible. They provide us with such energy. They provide us with an attraction for recruits to want to be here. It's just it feeds. It's a cycle that feeds each other. The more they give us, the more we win. The more we win, the more recruits want to come here. And, it just feeds the whole thing feeds each other.
Well, it was great. I got to see the Kentucky match. It was, again, I knew it would be, but it was fantastic. And, of course, the crowd, give them credit. And the Tigers 6-0 at home this year. So
yeah, we want to keep that going. I want to see that. I want to come back in here with y'all one of these days, and it's over 100.
There we go.
Real quick, Coach, before I let you get out of here, I know you're biased. We certainly are biased. Anybody listening or watching is biased. But I know that Haley Bryant is up for the top senior gymnast award in the country.
Yeah.
One of six finalists.
Yeah.
The resume, the speech you would give that she is the top senior in college gymnastics.
I would, at this point, I'm speechless about her because it's what she has done and the level of consistency that she has provided over the course of her 4-year career. And you mentioned this is the best senior in the country, so it's about the career. It's not about 1 year. It's not about. It's about the entire body of work, and her entire body of work may be the best ever anywhere in terms of the level of consistency that she has shown. She always has hit. She's averaged well over a 9.9 each of the last 2 years across all four events. She doesn't miss, and it's just it's just tremendous, and I would not take anything away. All those other candidates are tremendous in their own right and do tremendous things for their programs, but I'd be hard-pressed in my 34 years to say there's ever been one better than Haley Bryant, and that includes the likes of Courtney Coupetz and many of the big names that have come through our sport over the years that are regarded as the GOATs. She would be on the Mount Rushmore for sure.
It's a pretty good time in college gymnastics these days, isn't it?
It really is. It's where I would call it kind of the golden age right now, what we're seeing, because the popularity has gone through the roof. TV has come on board. Crowds are growing everywhere now. Now, we were able to get that going before TV got involved, but nonetheless, it's helped create a level of exposure, and we're drawing new eyes to the sport at all the time, and it's an exciting time for our sport, and the pool of talent, as I mentioned, is much larger, and we're seeing more and more good teams. The old days, there were three or four good teams at the top and then everybody else, and now you could go 15, 18, 20 deep, and the teams are very, very good.
Well, again, Coach, you're one of my favorites, and we're tremendously fortunate to have you here at LSU at this golden age of college gymnastics. And by the way, I love the wipeout breaking ball.
Dude, I was about to thank you for not bringing that up. But since you did.
I wasn't going to touch it.
Since you did.
As it turned out, we needed a couple of those. Get those guys to swing at it.
That was a solid 42-mile-an-hour hook that went straight in and became a worm burner. But I appreciate you, adding to the humiliation of my first pitch experience. I fully intend to get another opportunity and make my pitch to get to the show.
It will be a return engagement. Yeah.
All right, Coach. Well, congratulations on the season, and best of luck moving forward when you get started on April 4th. Looking forward to it.
Thanks so much, Chris.
All right, Kurt. Fans, that's going to wrap things up for this week's Play-by-Play. I want to thank Jay Clark for his time in this very busy time of the year. Of course, Harrison Ballantyne, the illustrious Kent Lowe. For everybody, this is Chris Blair. See you next week. And so long, everybody. Go Tigers.